And now we begin chapter 21, Radar. The humiliating news of Tesla's financial distress following his loss of Wardenclyffe was further advertised in March 1916 when he was summoned to court in New York for failure to pay $935 to the city in personal taxes. Scherf had lain awake nights worrying about his former employer and his taxes. And now it had happened. Every local newspaper carried the story. The misfortune seemed unjustly cruel, coming at a time when Edison had just been appointed to an important defense research post in Washington, while Marconi, Westinghouse, General Electric, and thousands of lesser firms were thriving on the profits from Tesla's patents. He was now forced to confess in court that he had lived for years on credit at the Waldorf Astoria, that he was penniless and swamped with debts. The land on which Wardenclyffe stood was taken from him and sold to a New York attorney, and it was even reported that the inventor might go to jail for contempt in connection with his tax debts. Somehow in this time of turmoil, and heartsickness, he polished and published the basic principles of what would be known almost three decades later as radar. German U-boats were sinking almost 1 million tons of Allied shipping a month when America entered World War I in April 1917, and the search for a way to detect submarines was of the priority. But there was as yet no such urgency about finding a means of predicting air attacks. Although long-range German planes and Zeppelins had begun to raid central France and England with some regularity. And I have to comment here, it simply cannot stand scrutiny, the proffered scan, that it could be even remotely true that the US state or the other big boy states with it of that day did not know what they had in Nikola Tesla. The only scenario that stands scrutiny is the truth. The global state feigned disinterest in Nikola because of the importance they accorded, and their behavior in the aftermath of its theft explains and demonstrates it, the importance they accorded the EMF weapon they'd stolen from him. In our April 30th, 2017 show, we learned that, quote, the War Department was approached for ideas for how to save Wardenclyffe, but nothing came of it. Next, it was considered as a site for a pickle factory. Tesla must have wept when he heard this. In 1917, on July 4th, the tower was destroyed under a salvage contract between the owners and the Smiley Steel Company of New York. But the inventor did not wish to disclose the real owners, and it was destroyed only in an effort to realize a few dollars from scrap. And that was from our April 30th, 2017 show. And in 1914, he used the media to apply pressure to world leaders to utilize the means he had perfected. That's the word he used in a different publication about the EMF weapon he'd invented over a decade earlier. Remember all of those scientists from all over the world who descended on him in 1902 or 1901, thereabouts? He wrote that the EMF weapon, electromagnetic force weapon, he had perfected could bring down planes. He was trying to stop World War I. And I think if we give it a little thought, we can imagine why they wanted the world busy while they played with what they'd gotten stolen from Nikola. And that Serbian nationalism as the cause of World War I seems highly suspicious, given they also wanted to keep Nikola busy as they developed his technology. So he writes in 1914, modern machinery wrought by science is responsible for this calamity, impending bombing of Europe. Science will also undo the Frankenstein monster it has created. A new force, happening, bombing, will also undo the Frankenstein monster it has created. A new force, a new agent, a demonstration by any means, old or novel, but of a kind to surprise and suddenly illuminate, to bring the belligerent to their senses and furnish irrefutable proof of the folly and uselessness of carrying on the brutal fight. Thousands are working on it, is what I am certain people in the U.S. state were telling him to try to shut him up. Thousands, continuing with Nikola, are working on it, bent upon developing some process or apparatus for accomplishing the purpose. And there is feverish activity, no doubt, in France, Russia, and especially in Germany, among electricians, chemists, and engineers. And that is from an article he published in The Sun of December 20th, 1914. And then Margaret continues, but there was, as yet, no such urgency about finding a means of predicting, or how about my interjection, preventing, as Nikola wanted to do, or preventing, no such urgency to prevent, despite Nikola's efforts, continuing with Margaret, air attacks. Although long-range German planes and Zeppelins had begun to raid central France and England with some regularity, although it was predictable that aerial bombardment would eventually become horribly destructive, it was not yet so. And anyway, the air war was still thought to be romantic and dashing, bringing out a latent propensity for heroism even among its victims. How much more dazzling, I interject, would have been Nikola's preventive stroke of genius had it been allowed to be. How much more dazzling, we cannot know. Two world wars, the body count in the who knows how many tens of millions, the suffering incalculable, this the toll we've paid for indulging the so-called ruler's arrogance, granted unbeknownst. But now we know we must no longer delay the action required by our knowing. It is long past time for us to claim our right to freedom, to our self-development, and to our right to help each other directly with our sustenance and love, globally, to reclaim responsibility for our own lives. Continuing with Margaret. When German planes dropped the first bombs on Paris, Parisians stood in the open streets to watch. When London was attacked from the air, Londoners trampled primroses and hedgerows, racing to the scene. An airship brought down in flames was described by a newspaper as, quote, beyond doubt the greatest free show that London has ever enjoyed. Peanut butter logic, sitting on a bed.